Good morning. Interesting, as we were driving down to come to the meeting, I had my car radio on RSG, the Afrikaans station, and the man was preaching, and had a lot to say about the shape of the world, and specifically the shape in which South Africa finds itself. And I think we all know enough of that. The world is in chaos more than ever before. I don't want to say much about what's happening in this country. All you have to do is have a look at the news. But it confirms something in my heart, and this is my conviction. What is required in this hour in the world is the ministry of Elijah. Not as a single Superman, but an Elijah company that will move in the spirit and power of Elijah. I've been wrestling with this for a long time, but I'm deeply convicted. This is what God is busy forming and shaping. And it's not an easy process. Malachi 4, verse 6 says, "And I will send you Elijah," when? "Before the great and terrible day of the Lord." Some people say it's talking about two days, the great day and the terrible day. Now, I'm not sure about that, but let's just accept what it says. "I'm going to send you Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord." And we'll say more about that a bit later. I want us to turn to 1 Kings chapter 17, because I want you to follow some of those verses with me. 1 Kings chapter 17. It's interesting, when you read the very first verse of chapter 17, Elijah appears from nowhere. Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab. Now, Ahab at that time was the king of Israel. And in his reign, idolatry took over. The altar was set up for Baal. That altar was erected, and people worshipped Baal. Jezebel had thrown down all God's altars. Jezebel was the wife of Ahab. And she slew all the prophets of God and replaced them by other gods and other prophets. This is the condition in which God commissioned Elijah to go and face the king. Now, in the back of my mind, and I'm not the only one, there's a lot of questions. How do we deal with the situation in our own nation? All the corruption and all the stuff that goes with it. I've always said, what is needed now is the voice of the church. The voice with authority to address the situation. Now, there are many ways of saying that, but I want to take this model this morning, and I trust you will follow with me. I'm going to not be too long. Apart from earthquakes and fires and hurricanes and floods, righteous men on earth, I'm talking about the Church of Jesus Christ, regardless of label, righteous men should be motivated to take seriously our call to see kingdom rule and the role of prayer behind it. Did you hear me? The role of prayer. We're going to see something here in the preparation of Elijah. Elijah went through a very thorough preparation before he did the final confrontation. 1 Kings chapter 17, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but listen to what he said to Ahab in verse 1. As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except by my word. This is a mighty statement to make in front of a king. And while standing there, he says, the Lord Jehovah, before whom I stand. He's standing in front of the king, but he saw a greater, higher figure. That's the one before whom he stood. And then makes this statement. There shall be no rain, dew or rain, these years, except by my word. Guess what? He got the attention of the king. Let's say, aandag gekry. But now, before the final demonstration of Jehovah, the God, that wanted to make himself known in a fresh way, after saying these words, Elijah had to go through a preparation process. And this is where I believe God has got the church, maybe not the whole church, but the remnants, groups in the church are going through preparation phase. Because I want you to hear this morning. You know, people pray for other ways in which God is going to intervene. God is waiting for us because he wants to do it through his church. Then God gives him this instruction. And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, go away from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith. Hide yourself by the brook Cherith. Now, before I go further there, we mustn't see Elijah now as a superman of sorts. James 5 verse 7 says this. Just listen. James 5 verse 7 says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. There was prayer behind his statement to the king. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the earth for 3.5 years. Isn't that dreadful? For 3.5 years, no rain. Later, of course, he prayed again, and we'll get there. He was a man with a like nature than that of what we have. But he was a prayer man. Bizweni, are we listening? The house of God, Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. It's not about programs and this and that and the other. My house shall be called a house of prayer. He spoke to Ahab face to face. He didn't send him an SMS. He spoke to him face to face. And this must have taken a lot of moral strength. But there was a humility in Elijah that we mustn't miss. He was not arrogant. The Bible says He was a man of like passions. What is the source of his strength? He knew that God was alive, because he was saying, as the Lord Jehovah lives. He believed God lived. There's a lot of Christians today that kind of begin to doubt that. God is alive. God is real. And then he added, that God before whom I stand. He was positioned correctly. He was conscious of a higher presence. Now, go to Cherith. What does the name Cherith mean? It means cut off, cut down. God was busy with Elijah. Cherith means cut off, cut down. And there, during this drought, he was fed by ravens, and this brook Cherith was a little stream with water. Was God busy to purify the motive of Elijah? Purifying his motives? Is God purifying the motives of his church? Was it to show Elijah that he depended totally on God? How many of you have reached a place where your total dependence is on God? See, every saint, every Christian, every believer that God is preparing to be part of the Elijah company, everyone who would yield great power with men must win it in some hidden Cherith first. Daar is wat ons die oorlog moet wen. Daar by die klein fonteinkie, terwyl dit nie reën nie. That's where we've got to first win. Sometimes, now you don't look at Cherith now as a physical getaway into the wilderness, into a little stream, and waiting for some birds to feed you. This can take place. That can be your experience in the crowd, in town. You can go through a Cherith experience. Cut off, cut down, being tested to the uttermost. Do you trust God? Now, then the brook dried up. I don't know how long he sat there, but suddenly the water started flowing. And God got his attention. Oops, no more water. I don't know what happened to the ravens. I suppose they also stopped. Often we find ourselves sitting by a drying brook of Cherith. Skielik droog dit ook op. What now? The first question that will come up to our minds, and I've been there, has God forgotten about me? Has God forgotten about us? It seems almost like inevitable that we have to go that route and hit the bottom to build that trust and boldness that we find in Elijah. And again, he didn't go for the word of the Lord. The Bible says, and the word of the Lord came to him. How many of you know the word of God will find us? Will find you. The word of the Lord came to him. He didn't have to go look for it. God wants us to trust him, not in his gifts. Trust God. Don't make God an ATM machine. Many people have turned God into an ATM machine. When you need something, pum, 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 punch, pum, 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 in the name of Jesus, pum, 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 and take your money and off you go. Don't serve God for his gifts. Serve him for who he is. Now, finally the word of God caught up with him and gave him a next instruction. What is that? I want you to go to Zarephath. In Afrikaans, Zarephath. Zarephath also has a meaning. Zarephath means, fasten your seatbelt. We've been there for weeks now, months. Zarephath means to refine, to test, a smelting furnace. That's where God sent him. And he had to walk about 140 kilometers. This is just me. I'm thinking, I know Elijah. Sometimes he could move in the spirit. He could be here now, and next second he could be 100 miles away. I don't know. I have a feeling this time he had to walk 140 kilometers. And he reached Zarephath. God's plans and his demands is for explicit obedience. Obedience. Ons hou nie baie van daai woord nie. Obedience. But here's a good comfort, reassurance. When God puts you through a test like that, when he puts you through the furnace, he will also supply your needs. God supplied, in this case, a widow with her son. A widow who was busy making food for the last time because her food stuff was run out, and she was. And then Elijah said, I want food. And she said, I don't have any. This is my last. If I eat this, we'll die. And in verse 13, Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a little bread cake from it first. Ja, dat klinkt zelfzuchtig. Make something for me first. And bring it out to me, and afterwards you can make one for yourself and for your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth. Are we there? Okay. So, for quite a while, for a few years, remember now the drought was 3 years and 6 months before the rain came back. In this period, God was busy preparing Elijah, because God was going to use him to break the drought. Are you with me? So Lord Jesus, help us. In these times of preparation, we must be obedient. Zarephath is the place where God empties us out of our self-will, our self-sufficiency, our self-dependence. Jy kom by 'n plek waar jy niks meer oor het. Jy kan nie meer, jy kan niks self. You're at the end. And then, the Spirit of God fills the emptiness. The Spirit of God will fill the emptiness. We must learn to live on the Word of God. For almost 3.5 years, he lived with this woman and her son. And then, guess what? The next instruction came. He said, now, go show yourself to Ahab. Go show yourself to Ahab. By now, of course, Ahab and the nation was panicking because of the drought. Now let's look at 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. God says to him, go show yourself to Ahab and I will send rain on the face of the earth. And he went to show himself to Ahab. And then a lot of things happened, and I'm going to skip those verses for time's sake, and we go to verse 16. Go and read from verse 16 in 1 Kings 18. Verse 16. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came about when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said to him, "Is this you, you troubler of Israel?" And he said, "I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, because you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and you have followed the Baals. Now then, send and gather to me all of Israel on Mount Carmel, together with 450 prophets of Baal," all the false prophets, "and 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table." And he released the message. And amazing, the whole nation gathered. Now I can imagine, if we want to, in a literal way, see something like this happen in our nation or in other nations where corruption is at the peak, can you imagine the authority that's going to require that to be, for people to listen? Now, whether that's physically going to play out that way, we don't know, but I want you to catch the principle. The nation gathered, and then in verse 36, here's the test now for Elijah. In verse 36, the people were there. They before we get to verse 36, they had to. He said to the prophets of Baal in verse 25, "Go, choose an ox for yourself and prepare it first for your many and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it." We know the story. I trust we know the story. So he gave them an opportunity to call on their God to start the fire to burn the sacrifice. Well, they went and on and on. They began to cut themselves. They did lots of stuff because their God, obviously, did not have the power, and nothing happened. So by now, he had their attention. He had their attention. Look what he did. So he said, "All right, come near me." In verse 30, he says, "Come near to me. Kom nader. Kom sien wat God nou gaan doen." This is boldness, but he was prepared. See, if you do what is the will of God only, and the will of God works through you, there's a boldness second to none. Elijah had it. He was prepared. He was ready. And it says, he then took 12 stones, verse 31, according to the number of the tribes of the son of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Israel shall be your name." So with the stones he built an altar, and we know the rest of the story. He arranged the wood, cut the oxen pieces, and then he said, "Put water, pour water on it, on the burnt offering, on the wood, fill the trenches." Why did he do this? To show nobody is going to fake anything here. Nobody is going to do anything on a human level to act like a superman. Maak dat gods onmoontlik vir iemand om dat van 'n menslike punt te doen. It had to be God. So he created an environment where only God, the one and only God, can do it. Then, verse 36, it came about at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. See, the timing was also very perfect. The evening sacrifice. It was prayer time normally. He chose that time. And he came near and said, "O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today let it be known." Listen to this. Number one, that thou art God in Israel. Number two, that I'm your servant. Number three, and that I've done all these things at thy word. Critically important. Those ingredients should back up and will back up this kind of demonstration of power. If it's not in place, it won't happen. At the time of the evening sacrifice, let it be known that you alone are God, that I'm your servant, and I've done all of these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me. And then in verse 38, the fire of the Lord fell, consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. Supernatural. God. Don't you think this is the kind of thing that will get the attention of nations. Not church conferences. Thank God for good conferences that have substance and content. But that's not the only way. That's not the final instrument. God's people, a company prepared, and I call it an Elijah company, must be prepared and will be prepared and is being prepared for this final demonstration. Because I'm going to send Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord. All right, what happened then? They slew all the prophets. I mean, the Bible is interesting. It says, he told them in verse 40, seize the prophets, don't let anybody escape. So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Cherith and slew them there. I don't know whether Elijah by himself slew 450 prophets. I don't know. Maybe he did. I don't know. But they were eradicated. And then, here's what I want you to get. Elijah said to Ahab, verse 41, go up and eat and drink, for there is the sound of the roar of heavy shower. The fact was, in the natural, there was no sound, no cloud, no nothing. But in the spiritual ear, he could hear the sound of a heavy shower. How many of you can begin to hear in the spirit the sound of a heavy roaring shower? Call it a thunderstorm, if you will. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, typically. But Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. Listen to this. And he crouched down on the earth. Hy het gaan op sy knieë gaan. With his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, go up now and look towards the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. Nothing. Elijah said, go back. He comes back. There's nothing. Sunshine. Blue skies. The drought continues. I think by the third time or so, anybody that has not been sent by God who says, ek het 'n fout gemaak. This is not going to work. Not Elijah. He sent him seven times to see what's happening on the horizon. Seven times. Don't give up. And then he came back finally. He says, I see a cloud as small as a man's hand coming up from the sea. As all this prophet needed. He said, prepare your chariot, go down, for the heavy shower will stop you. If it came about in a little while that the sky grew black, so it came about, the sky grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy shower, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And listen to this. The hand of the Lord was on Elijah. He girded up his loins, and out ran Ahab with all his horses and chariots. This skinny prophet of God with miskien net so 'n bokvel, he outran Ahab. Folks, I can go more and more into detail. Chapter 19 is one we have to look to as well, but not today. So what now? Now back to Malachi 4, verse 5 and 6. Behold, I'm going to send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. What will he do? Verse 6. He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse. This is very important. I know this has been some places overemphasized, but I really want you to get the truth here. He has a commissioning. Then when John the Baptist was born, Jesus was quick to say, and in three places at least, Matthew 11 verse 14, Matthew 17 verse 12, Luke 1 verse 17, Jesus said, this prophecy about Elijah in Malachi 4 verse 6 is fulfilled in John the Baptist. Hello? Fulfilled in John the Baptist, who did no sign. He never worked a miracle. He never performed any signs. Elijah was a man of miraculous powers. What gaat hier aan? Is John the Baptist a fulfillment of the Elijah that would come according to Malachi 4? Jesus said yes. He was. So we have to switch dimension here. What was the real purpose of the coming of Elijah in the person of John the Baptist? Coming in the spirit and power of Elijah must be referring to something else. Well, here it is. This grace that John the Baptist carried, that was prophesied in Malachi 4, refers to an anointing which is needed in every generation. It's not a once only finally fulfilled what happened in John the Baptist. He was needed in that, but he is needed in successive generations, and specifically if you read Malachi 4 verse 6, before the great and terrible day of the Lord, he must come and bring family together. Fathers to their children, children to their fathers. Now, the church has always been called to be a family. Why did Jesus teach us to pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven"? Our Father. Church is a family. It's not a congregational list, a litmus cup lace. It's to be a family. It's talking about a relational restoration to prepare God's people for their works of service. Now we go back to Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 13. Ephesians 4, Paul says, God gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the bring the body to the unity of the faith, and then ultimately to bring the body of Christ to full stature. This is our work of service. This is the anointing that rested upon Elijah. And Elijah represents apostles and prophets' grace. The apostolic and prophetic grace rested on Elijah. Specifically in that prophecy in Malachi 4 verse 6. Now, more than any other apostle in the Bible, Paul the apostle modeled the relationship of fathers and sons. Paul and his son Timothy. The church on earth must come to the place of not only be a restored apostolic life, but a fully mature life. And this is where things are getting stuck now. It has to go beyond an apostolic people. It has to come to a mature body of Christ. A mature body of Christ. And if you read, and I'm going to come to a close here, but I want you to catch the last few minutes. Paul says in Philippians 2:16, join with others in following my example. Here's the man that wrote most of the New Testament, saying, follow my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. I want you to get this now, and I'm going to close with this. The Elijah company that God is busy raising must become the voice of God in the earth. Must become the voice of God in the earth. Listen to this. In John chapter 1, we hear John the Baptist's own testimony about himself. And you're going to find this interesting. The testimony of John himself, verse 19, John 1, verse 19. And this is the witness of John. When the Jews sent to him priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? See, they were curious. Vijay, who are you? And he confessed, and he did not deny. And he confessed, I am not the Christ. I am not the Messiah. John was very careful and very honest. I'm not the Messiah. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? They asked him, are you Elijah? What did he say? I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, no. Interesting. There was nothing of a self, you know, exalted image. What did he say about himself? He said, who are you that we may give an answer to those who sent us? Who sent them? The Pharisees and Sadducees. And verse 23, this is what he said. I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. And that's also a quote from Isaiah the prophet. So what is required? A voice. Not an institution, not an organization, not a wonderful building. A voice carrying authority in the heavenlies. A voice that can arrest a president, a king, a government. A voice before God comes and smite the land with a curse. Now, I hope something in this word has touched your heart. It certainly worked in my heart over a period of time. And I want us to grasp some things here. Number one, Elijah was a man like us, but he was a prayer warrior. He prayed. Are we faithful in our prayer life? Prayer is not that official religious thing many people go through. Prayer, I mean, the Bible says pray without ceasing. Prayer is a connection with God through His Holy Spirit. Yes, and times alone, times in the Word, times with you and God, very necessary. Very necessary. Folks, in this hustle bustle, this horrible situation that the world finds itself in, it is required for the true church, those whom God is busy forming into an Elijah company, to spend time with God and His Word. Go through the tests. Go through your brook of Cherith. Go through Zarephath. Go through the smelter's fire. Come out with divine authority. Divine authority. Something we need to take care of. We must not allow the enemy to tamper with that which God is busy doing in us. We don't need fire from Satan. He will try and add some. I'm willing to submit to whatever God has given permission for. Are you listening to me? Remember last week's word? Jesus said to Peter, hey, Satan has asked permission to sift you like wheat. Satan needed permission. And Jesus said, I have prayed for you so that your faith will not waver. I exhort you this morning. I know many of us are going through tough times and testing. Let's stand to our feet for just a minute. Apart from rain in the Western Cape, which we desperately need, we need the Spirit of God to rain down on this country. We need an outpouring of heaven's rains. Pray for rain in the time of the latter rain, the Bible says. And Lord Jesus, this morning as we stand together, we bring before you all those in the fiery tests, in the smelting furnace, in the tests, in that cut-off place, in that lonely place. Yeah, Lord, it's so easy for us to stand in the crowd, and yet inside we are desperately lonely. I pray this morning that your faithfulness will prevail, that we will be faithful to your voice only, and that we will allow us to be formed. And the outcome, the result will be a voice crying in the wilderness, a voice breaking the drought, a voice arresting corruption. Because this earth belongs to the Lord and the fullness thereof. We bring this before you this morning, Lord. Come on, as a family, we pray that the spirit of Elijah will hover over us and that you will prepare us for our work of service. You will have a family. You will have a family that will substitute, that will become part of that voice in the earth, and that will carry authority, divine authority in that voice. We declare ourselves one with wherever God, we are preparing people, we declare us one family before the Heavenly Father. We are a family. We're a family. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.